going to share a little bit personally, some of my personal journey, just as well as just some of the things I feel like God has, some of the things he's taught me, and so just come along on this journey with me. So this spring has been so refreshing to me after such a long winter. I love gardening. I love being outside, and the winter seemed very long. I don't know if it seemed that way for you, but as the days got a little warmer and things started to get a little green, I just was so excited. And so I remember the day I was walking around my backyard, and we have a lot of trees, and so there was lots of sticks laying on the ground, and they were very dead and brittle, so they would just break like this. And I was picking them up to put them in a pile so we could get rid of them eventually and mow. I was so excited to mow for the first time. I know, it's a lot of work, but I enjoy it. This just reminded me, it was so, like, there just wasn't a lot of life. And so as I walked closer to all my bushes and the trees.
Let's get rid of that.
So as I got closer to the bushes and the trees, I could just see these tiny buds on them. And I had so much joy that I cannot even tell you. Like, it was indescribable. And you may think I'm a little crazy, but if you like to be outside like me, I think you probably understand. So as I was doing that, I knew I was going to be speaking today and was asking the Lord, what is it that you want me to share? And I was reminded of John 15, which I'm going to be reading from in a few minutes. So in this busy world that we live in, wherever you find yourself, be it at home, working from home, at your job, enjoying your hobbies or spending time with your friends, learning how to abide and rest in Jesus is key to each one of us being refreshed and having the strength to live each day with hope no matter what we're facing. Abiding in Jesus can give us the ability to push past ourselves, to give out to others, to be a blessing even when we may not feel like it. In other words, produce fruit that lasts. So if you want to turn with me to John 15, we're going to read the first 8 verses. I need some water. And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. And I'm going to be using the word abide. In the New Living Translation, it actually uses the word remain, but they're both pretty much interchangeable. So John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, or abide in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. This is Jesus talking here. So Jesus is saying, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So I don't know about you, but I like to be able to imagine and visualize things. It just helps me. And so I don't know if you've ever been somewhere and seen a vineyard or if you've seen pictures of them. And they're beautiful on a hillside usually. And the rows of grapes are just perfect. And So if I try to imagine a vineyard and Jesus, the scripture says here, Jesus is like that grapevine and we're the branches that go off of that vine and our Father God is the gardener. So he's the one that's tending to all these branches. If you can picture that vineyard. So tonight I'm just going to, there's 3 points I just kind of pull from this passage. The first one is pruning, and I don't know about you, but pruning is never pleasant in our personal lives, but it's necessary. The Bible says here that he cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. So it sounds kind of painful, but he prunes that so that we will grow more. Pruning is a continual process. I know those of you maybe have grapevines at home, because I have wisteria at home and it grows and grows. So you have to prune it a lot or you will have a mess. So I'm thankful that God, our Father, prunes us, but he never prunes us too much. So if you see this beautiful arrangement of white flowers here, I pruned it too much 2 years ago, and I cut it way back because it was going crazy, and it did not bloom the next year, and I was so sad, and I thought, oh, I did this too much. So this past year, I didn't cut it back nearly as far. I pruned it just enough, and this year, the blooms are falling on the ground. They're so full, and so it really was a good reminder to me that God never prunes us too much. When he allows things into our lives, it's never too much. It's just enough for us. So just to share a little personal story with you. So most of my life, I have been plagued with worry and fear. And I mean, if you could worry about anything, I would find it to worry about. I often heard growing up and began to think of myself as a worrywart. I don't know if you've heard that phrase, but that's what I thought of myself as. I would fear everything under the sun. When I was little, I was afraid of sharks. I was afraid of being tied to a train track. It was just crazy. And I was afraid of bulls. And so my neighbor boy one day told me that the farm across the road from us had bulls. And these bulls had horns, and they were mean. And so for weeks, I would fall asleep, and I would be afraid that the bull would come in our house. I know. Come in our house, come up the stairs, and hurt me. So, and I never, of course, told my parents this because I knew in my head it was silly, but to me it was very real. And so one day I was with the farmer's wife, and I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I said to her, "Do you guys have bulls?" And she's like, "No, we sell them as soon as they're born." And I had wasted all these days and weeks and months worrying. And as I got older, my fears changed. I began to worry more about the future. I began to worry a lot about what people thought of me. Just you name it. So 98% of the things that I worried about never came to pass. And I really, as I look back now, I feel like I wasted years potentially of worrying. But I also know that this is an area where the Lord continues to prune me. I know that God does not say, I know that Jen struggles with fear, so I'm going to give her things to fear about. That's not God's heart. But I know that he does allow certain things into my life because he loves me and wants me to walk in freedom and become all that he created me to be. So I have a choice to make when difficult times come. Am I going to walk in fear, or am I going to trust him? The fear that I've experienced at different times can keep me from experiencing complete peace, and it sometimes keeps me from his best for me. For example, the gifts that he's placed in me, if I'm afraid to use them, I'm going to miss out. So what I'm trying to say is, even though pruning is hard and it's not an easy process for us, it allows growth to come into our lives. So think about your own life. What is it that maybe keeps you from experiencing all God has for you? It can be fear, like me. It can be anger. It could be certain habits. It could be shame. But when these things have come and arise in your life, could it be that God is not like ready to hit you over the head because you've messed up, but instead because he loves you and is giving you an opportunity to choose? Choose to stay the way you are. Well, this is how I am. This is too hard. I'm not going to change. Or be willing to be pruned and grow. So now we get into abiding or remaining, which is in verses 4 and 5. It says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me." And I love this. It's a promise. Jesus promises, if I will abide in you, you will abide in me. Abide in me, I will abide in you. So in the dictionary, abide means to remain, to continue, stay, to dwell, or reside. Abide is a verb. It does require something of us. It's not just a feeling or a belief. I can't wake up tomorrow morning and say, okay, I know that I should abide and remain in Jesus. I'll do this. Or, okay, I feel like abiding today. This is going to be a good day. Or, no, I don't feel like abiding. But it does, it requires us. It requires us being humble before the Lord and just surrendering to him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes things in the Bible, it's hard to wrap our mind around it. So abiding, it's not a word we use very often. I think it can be hard to describe even. So as I was sharing with Doug a little bit, and he really thought it'd be good to pull out the word trusting, because honestly, that's what we're doing when we're abiding and we are waiting upon the Lord. We are putting our complete trust into Him. We trust who He says He is. If I fully believe in my heart that what He says He is, Scripture says He's my strong tower, He's my shepherd, He's my Savior, my healer. That's just a few of them. Then I can truly rest in that. I can trust Him to work it out, whatever's going on in my life. Things may not look the way that I would like them to look or way I think they're going to look, but I can trust that God sees big picture and that I am held securely in His hand. So as I think about the stronghold that fear has held over me, and some days still does, I've realized that in those moments when I'm paralyzed by fear or I'm thinking of every scenario of the way a conversation could go, I'm not abiding. I'm not trusting. Ultimately, I feel like I can maybe control it, you know? Like I can make things happen. But I'm like a branch that is just barely hanging on. And I don't know if you can see this pretty prime branch, but there's a branch right here that is just barely hanging on. It has a little bit of life in it. Well, actually, it has a lot of life in it yet. It won't in a couple days because it's barely hanging on there. So I found a quote by a guy's name is Josh Weidman, and it says, it's not simply to stay close to Jesus for the sake of greater reward or more steady obedience. Rather, to abide in Christ is to have our entire lives affected by His lordship over us. When we allow Jesus to be Lord over our entire lives, over those areas where we struggle most, then He can bring life to us. We're not like this branch that's just barely hanging on. Over the years, I've learned and I'm still learning how to recognize when I'm in this place of fear or anxiety. Often, physically, I feel it. My stomach's in knots, or I'm not breathing. And this happened to me, just very practical, it happened to me last year. I was running a half marathon, and I was really struggling toward the end, and there was this huge hill, and I was not breathing well. I was not breathing well. And there was a gentleman that had ridden his bike up along us, just encouraging us. And when I got to the top of the hill, he was on the other side of the road, and he could see that I was struggling. And he yelled to me, "Just breathe. Take a deep breath." And I did, and I felt so much better. So I say all that to say, sometimes when we struggle with something, whether it's fear or whatever it is, it's like this comfortable coat, and we don't even recognize sometimes that we're struggling until somebody points it out in us or the Lord gently reminds us. And so just practically, how do we abide? And again, He's going to speak to us in different ways, and we all hear from Him differently. But Scripture is a way I know that God can speak to each one of us. Actually, this just happened this week. Actually, last Sunday, I was looking for verses on hope, and I came across a verse in Psalms 42:5, and it really kind of was speaking to where I was that morning, that evening, and it's, "Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my God and my Savior." And just to, like 2 days later, one of our Overflow family here put that on Facebook. And, you know, that might seem silly, but to me, it was confirmation that the Lord was saying, don't allow your heart to be sad. I'm your encouragement. I'm your hope. So that was a way. That's a practical way that I felt like I was just reminded of the Lord's presence and that I could abide in Him. For me, music is important. And just being still, I do not do that one very well. But when I am still and can just listen, that's when I can hear the Lord's voice the best and just know that He's with me. He whispers His love to me. And you know, just to be aware of His presence. We are very busy people, and we are on the go a lot. So throughout your day, in your car, whether you're walking your dog, whatever you're doing, to just put your mind on Him, focus on Him, talk to Him about everything. He knows what's going on in our lives, but He loves it when we talk with Him and share our lives with Him. One of the ways that when, and this has just been for me in the last year especially, when I am feeling a lot of fear or don't understand what to do, don't have answers, I like to imagine myself just stopping for a moment, just saying, Jesus, please, I need your help. And I like, there's just an immediate sense of his presence. And even too, just if you're imaginative, just imagine yourself in those difficult times, leaning back on him or sitting in his lap. So those are things for me that practically are ways to help me to trust him, to abide in him, just to rest in him. So then in verses 5 through 8, it goes on to talking about producing fruit. And when we abide in Jesus and we allow him to be in charge of our lives, in verse 5 it says that we will produce much fruit. We can do absolutely nothing without him. So apart from Jesus the vine, we can do nothing. And so just like I talked about these dead branches earlier, they were no longer connected to anything. They were on the ground, and they're dry, and they're brittle, and there's no life here. So we don't want to be like that. We want to have life, Jesus' life in us. And even Jesus, he said that he could do nothing without the Father. In John 5, verse 19, Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So if Jesus couldn't do anything without the Father, how much more we need the Father. So verse 6 talks about these dead branches that are thrown, and they're withered, and they're going to be burned. We don't want to be like that. Instead, I think all of you, want to produce life, produce much fruit, fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Doug's been talking about the Holy Spirit and how he does that in us. We want to be connected so that that is what is flowing from our lives. So we can't produce fruit on our own. Fruit is only the result of us trusting him, abiding in him, being in him, getting our strength and our life from him. And why should we want to produce much fruit? Verse 8 tells us, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So it brings great glory to our Heavenly Father when we produce fruit. It has nothing to do with us. It's all about him. So wherever you find yourself today, as a mother, as a father, as a son or daughter, as a friend, an employee, whatever you are, whatever you would talk about, someone asks you, what do you do? Who are you? Let's ask ourselves this question. How connected am I to the vine? Am I at this place of being a dead branch? Am I just hanging on? Or am I a branch that is full of life? So I just encourage us today, tonight, to be branches that are full of life and remain connected to the vine.